on History Notes, Sundays from 6 to 8 on WHFR FM 89.3. Rock and roll from the 60s, mixed with the British invasion. 50s blues and R&B, with a slice of psychedelia thrown in for good measure. It's all on the Rollin' and Tumblin' program. Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
This is the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here. And, you know, the season of fall also, I think, to so many students especially, refers to the season of some pretty fun college sports starting up. And, well, we know here at HFC we love our Hawks, so we thought we would bring in two of our, well, dare I say, experts in their respective fields to share a little bit of insight on what we can expect for the Henry Ford athletic season. In particular, we're going to talk wrestling, and we're going to talk women's basketball in this particular segment. I would like to welcome, for the first time in our studio, but no strangers to broadcast, I'm sure, Coach Grant McKenzie, who is our HFC wrestling coach, and Coach Daryl Smith, who is newly coaching women's basketball. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you here. As we look into the concept of college athletics, and in this situation, community college athletics, we know that there are different association levels for different competition groupings and so on. Let's start with wrestling, because there's quite an interesting story as I've known over the years, and you have carried with you, Coach McKenzie, in the wrestling arena. And I also recognize that we've got a pretty darn good team over the years here for a number of reasons. Certainly, I'm sure your coaching has contributed in a great way to that. But tell us a little bit about what division we compete in, and just kind of tell us your story a little bit.
Okay, so our division is the NJCAA. Most people call it JUCO for short. And this is my 11th year on campus. The first 4 years we were a club team, which in the division we competed in was NCWA, an intercollegiate wrestling club thing. You didn't have to be a full-time student for that division. And after 4 years of that, we transitioned to the intercollegiate sport. So now every kid must be full-time. There's a lot of grade requirements and grade checks. And the competition is definitely fierce, and it's unique to this area because a lot of college wrestling sports started to disappear because of Title IX. People claim Title IX washed away a lot of college sports because of the gender equity, and I think doing a little bit of research, Henry Ford College, Community College, did have a wrestling team that was short-lived. And the first head coach was around for a couple of years, and then he left, and he became a longtime successful coach in Battle Creek at one of the high schools. And then the next guy took over. He was a young guy. He lasted for a couple of years, and I ended up meeting one guy who wrestled on that team, and it was the very last team, and I want to say it was around 1979. And then it was over. Mm. There was no wrestling in Wayne County. There was a good, powerful team at Schoolcraft Community College, and then that disappeared around 1982. And I'm just happy to be the one that resurrected it and brought it back, and people are getting involved.
Yeah. Oh, we're glad you're here, too. The students that are benefiting from having an opportunity to wrestle at this collegiate level, I'm sure I know the story. I hope you tell them the story so they can appreciate and respect what it took to get them to be in a situation to be able to compete at this level. But what does this really mean to the students of Henry Ford College that are participating actively on a wrestling team, on a winning wrestling team, and being able to go through the discipline and being able to participate in such a way that you know, scholarships and opportunities for future experiences and so on. What's it like?
Okay, so just by looking at Wayne County, I think there's at least 38 high schools with wrestling. There's been a Wayne County wrestling tournament since about 2010. And what it means is these young people don't have to leave their homes. Some kids are not ready to leave the nest yet. And in Michigan, there are a handful of Division III schools. There are, you know, a few Division I schools. What it means for Wayne County is that they can stay home. They can save plenty of money. They can go to an affordable community college. Yes, there are scholarship. There's athletic aid money available. It just gives them an opportunity to get another year or two. And a lot of kids, they have that gung-ho attitude, and they love it freshman year, and they see how difficult it is. And if they come back for year two, if they survive that grind, they usually have some success, and we get people on the podium. So that means top eight in the country. And it gives an opportunity to say that they did it, and they have a memory that will last forever.
Yeah. So turning over to our new coach, Daryl Smith, women's basketball, there's a lot of big shoes to fill here at Henry Ford Athletics, no doubt about it.
Yeah, sure.
This is sort of an experience that you are coming in kind of fresh, at least into the role here at HFC.
Right.
And so when you hear Coach McKenzie talk about this level of what's going on.
Yeah, the background, the history story of our program yet, you know, so I'm actually trying to create one for us, right? So we're just trying to come into a position where I can add stability to the women's program and make us competitive like the wrestling program, the men's program, other programs on campus that's successful. So we know it can happen here. We just need someone to actually push in this area.
Yeah.
And that's the void I'm trying to fill.
And what does success look like to you as you're building this?
Well, obviously on this level, success for me is bringing in students that can be successful in the classroom, that's going to be able to graduate, and that's going to be able to go on and play in other places. Everybody won't have that opportunity, but we can do the best job possible to at least create the opportunity for it. Them to see it, and if it's there for them to be able to take it.
All right. Oftentimes, the coach is a former player of a variety of these different sports. Do you bring basketball experience
in? I play basketball. I play football. I played football in college. I coached women's and men's basketball in high school and was an athletic director at Westside Christian. My last school I was at was Melvindale ABT, and I was stuck coaching both sports there. Same thing with budgets and things like that, trying to find qualified people. Sometimes you have to step up and do those things on your own. So I was able to do that. Had some kids go off to play 2009. Bob Beff was the women's basketball coach here, and I kind of helped an intern on his staff. He's actually coming back to JUCO. He's at OCC now. So I just found that out last night. So it'll be good to see him and, you know, kind of go full circle. But, yeah, I've been probably playing basketball or organized since I was, like, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're coaching at a level that is community college-based and really kind of starting from scratch to sort of rebuild a program, as we talked about, what are you looking for?
Just to add culture. We don't have certain standards already in place or expectations for our women program, so I'm trying to put that in place so it doesn't matter who's coaching here. They know what to expect when they see Henry Ford College basketball. So just the way that we carry ourselves, the way we present ourselves, the way that we look, the way that we attack it and how hard we work, kind of want to make it almost like a blue-collar program where it doesn't have to be the top-ranked kid coming into this program, but if they're willing to work hard, they're willing to learn, they can fit into our system and be successful here.
Mm-hmm. Right. I sit sort of on the faculty side, so I get to see your players in the classroom, mm-hmm. and I get to fill out those little forms that say, yes, they're doing well, or no,
right.
they're not. Usually, yes, they're doing well, so that's a good thing. And you both mentioned the concept of providing, you know, an opportunity for students to excel, and I know you don't just mean on the mat and on the court,
right,
but in the classroom.
Sure.
And also Coach McKenzie kind of referring to that, some students aren't ready to go off to the university and change their life in such a dramatic way. So this is an opportunity as maybe a stepping stone for some, and maybe just a last opportunity to
right.
play the game in an organized fashion. How do you, and I suppose I'll head back to Coach McKenzie, and maybe you can get some tips here, Daryl, on some of his thoughts, but how do you walk that fine line between we need you to practice, we got to have you at the games, we need every, you know, we need 100% here, but by the way, you also need 100% in the classroom. How does that work out?
So, well, it's all about recruiting and building that connection and meeting their family, getting their family on campus, walking them around. And one of the first things I do is I set the tone, practice is mandatory. And the way I kind of do it is I say practice is, and I wait for them to fill in the blank, and sometimes they stare at me like, what is this guy talking about?
Right.
And I coach them up, say practice is mandatory, and they repeat it back to me, and then I say study tables are, and then they get the hang of it, and they say mandatory. And they go into class is mandatory. And I just set that tone from the very beginning, and it takes a while for buy-in. We definitely have issues with eligibility every year. The grades get checked in December, and I swear it's almost like 50%. So if I'm able to recruit a team of 20 wrestlers the first day of practice, 20, it's almost inevitable that 10 are going to disappear. And what I've really preached these progress reports, and I follow up with each one, and I think some years we got it to 40%. So there is some improvement, and I preach going to that learning lab mm-hmm. and getting, you know, 6 hours. And thankfully, the people at the learning lab are wonderful. They send me an updated list every Monday about the kids who show up and the hours they're putting in. So I can give them a high five or a fist bump for the positive reinforcement. And then the kids that aren't, I got to pull them aside and say, what are you doing? This is what you need to do. But that's constant. That's a constant part of the job.
But some would argue one of the most important parts of the job that I would say some coaches, hopefully not here at HFC, some coaches maybe don't spend as much time focused on. But you've been doing this for a while, and learning from experience, I'm sure that you recognize fully that commitment of your time and energy really does pay off.
It does.
Yeah, great. Coach Smith, you're going to be dealing with this kind of stuff moving forward, and you probably have in the past
yes.
as well. Do you have a certain style or approach as it relates to sort
right
of
now,
keeping
just,
them going?
I understand the downfalls that we had in the past, so I'm just trying to take a very hands-on approach. Every student that I have here, I've walked and took to the learning lab, had an instructional time where they can actually figure out how to get tutoring. We have study table every day from 6 to 7 o'clock in the team room. We're checking grades. We're doing progress reports. Mm-hmm. Just letting them know that student comes before the athlete here, and it should everywhere. And if you're not handling what you need to in the classroom, there is no basketball court, right? Or it'll be short-lived. It'll be from now to January, and then we'll have a handful of kids, and we won't have a chance to actually be successful. So I think the most important part of actually trying to build a program here is build a foundation of great students, because that gives you the best chance to compete later on down the road. If you don't have kids that's taking care of business in the classroom, conference play time, mm-hmm. you don't have the kids to compete here. So we make that our focus. Every day it's the same conversation. Sometimes it falls on dead ears, but they're starting to get it, you know, making that transition from high school to becoming a college student.
We're talking today with Coach Grant McKenzie, who is our HFC wrestling coach, and Coach Daryl Smith, who heads our women's basketball team. And we know that the seasons are getting ready to officially kick off. I'm sure practices have been underway for a while now, but it's late October and into early November that things will kind of officially become the competitive side of it with playing with other teams. And I'm just kind of thinking about a dear friend of mine who heads the athletic program, Rochelle Taylor, who's our athletic director, and all of the things you're saying are things that I hear her say all the time. You know, so do you Do you get that sense of support that is needed to do your jobs well through the people that are working around you and working, you know, to help you and so on? And, you know, is there like a dream or a goal that you're aspiring to get to that could happen if we only had more something? What do you think, Grant?
So Rochelle works tirelessly. She's excellent at what she does. She's on top of everything. Coach Brown, he's the assistant athletic director. He's all about the compliance, and he works tirelessly as well. You know, if we ever need anything, I totally feel confident that I can call him. And that's super important when you're working underneath someone. They give tips. I ask Coach Brown all the time, what should I do in this type of situation? Now, same thing with Miss Taylor. I ask her, here's the situation. What should I do? And they've been through it before. They're veterans, which is wonderful. It's nice to have fresh blood and new people. But when you have someone with years and years of experience, it's wonderful because they know what it takes. They know what's fluff. They know what's real. And I truly love working for them. I truly love working underneath them. I just believe in the college. I believe in the mission. And I tell kids all the time, the hashtag is future driven. And I sell that dream, right? We put on all the social media, future driven. I always tell kids, think about your future. You do 2 years with us, you can transfer anywhere. And I just love selling that dream.
That's very cool. Coach Smith, what's it been like being the newbie on campus?
I think it's good, especially when Miss Taylor she obviously has experience on multiple levels, even outside of Henry Ford. So she pretty much knows the ins and outs and what to look for and kind of giving you the heads up and kind of keep it on track. She meets with me once a week just to make sure that I'm staying on course, things needed to put the program in the right situation. And wholeheartedly, I think she wants to see the program be successful. So it only makes sense for her to do the things needed in her position to make sure that we are able to obtain that. I have no complaints, not to this point at all. You know.
All right. As a community college, we also can sometimes get called a commuter college, meaning obviously we don't have people staying here literally on campus in dorms. Yeah, there's some across the street
right.
that we share with U of M. But in the mindset of the fans, of the other students, you know, as an instructor, I always like to say, okay, who's playing on a team? And what are you playing? And then we can kind of support each other and so on. And the other students can have that support and buy-in. And I've been to games. I haven't been to wrestling matches, but I've been to some of the basketball games, and we get a good, pretty decent turnout at some of these things. And I know certainly when we get to the heavy competition level with our athletics and wrestling, you know, no exception, there's tons of press and so on, which is exciting. But are you finding that in the community college environment, we're doing enough to get the other students to kind of have that buy-in, and I call that a part of their college experience,
yeah,
not
sure.
just the student athlete, but the student side to come in and enjoy a game. You don't have to go to one of the big, you know, 10 to enjoy college sports. I think that's a part of the memories being made. But Coach McKenzie, thoughts on that, and what are you doing as far as that goes?
Okay, so when it comes to speaking about students coming in to watch, I do see a little bit of that. I don't know the numbers offhand. I don't know how to improve it, but I do know when I walk through a basketball game, the bleachers are packed. Like, we have the brand new bleachers in the gym.
Yeah.
They were definitely needed, and they're full. And we host two tournaments a year, and if you walked in, it might give someone anxiety, but the bleachers are full. There's people standing around the mats. There's people sometimes standing up on the balcony with their video cameras taping the matches. But that just brings life to campus, and it makes, I mean, the kids, they kind of feel like rock stars. They look around, wow, there's a lot of people watching. That's the experience that you want. You don't want it to be empty. But there's signs of life, and there's energy, and there's effort, and that's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Coach Shep did a great job setting a standard to packing the house. even outside of here, it's a conversation piece, and people want to come out and see the game and see the players that he's putting on the court, and I think we'll get an overflow of that. You know, obviously get an opportunity to play before them some games. But I want to be able to kind of create our own buzz, mm-hmm. and actually get more involved with kids on campus to make sure that they're able to support us. So if it's anything that they're doing on campus that they need support from us, we're willing to be part of it as well.
Awesome. We're going to be bringing Coach Shep in one of these chairs here sometime soon as well, so we'll get his take on that. I am a proud HFC alum, Henry Ford Community College, former Hawk cheerleader as well for the athletics, so you cannot fit in that uniform, but don't think I haven't tried, but it certainly was important when I was a student here, and we can't sort of oversell how wonderful that experience is. We tend to get local, I don't want to say celebrities, but you know, sometimes board of trustee members come, and we get the mayor that, you know, comes out to these things, and our college president and stuff, of course, as well. In terms of the student side of following the success of the team, do you like when we read about it in our local, you know, papers here, not only in the community, but even our school mirror newspaper, and we certainly like to promote the scores and stuff here on WHFR. How important is that process of the sort of the college body following the success of the team, not just coming to cheer them on to say, yay, let's have a great time, but to really kind of buy into the success of how a season is going, and do you think that contributes to that success?
So I'm very savvy with social media, you know, at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And I'm trying to think of the phrase, but you have to stay relevant. And young kids love their picture, right? Mm. So when young kids see the wrestler's picture all over, and I'm putting stuff on social media every Saturday, and I'm pumping things up, and the maybe it's a student journalist, maybe it's someone else, but if they help write a story and they put it out there and I reshare it and it just spreads, it's amazing how many likes these articles can get. Okay, and then when you add everything up and all these people are reading things and people are it generates buzz. Like I said, you want to stay relevant. Some coaches, they don't believe it. Like you never really see them on social media, and I think when you look over long term, some of them, their programs have kind of stalled a little bit. And I think that if you look at the wrestling team at Henry Ford, there's been growth every year, not by leaps and bounds, but there's significant growth. And I think a lot of it is just by positive reinforcement, by positive stories about the program and spotlighting student athletes, and the parents love it and they're very grateful, and then it helps get kids noticed when other coaches from other divisions want to go after them. You know, mm-hmm. the kids feel like rock stars. It's just a fun thing to do. I mean, at this level, it's not like it's massive, but it's so important because kids need it.
It sounds like it pays off.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Coach Smith, you said you do a podcast. Is that a sports podcast or a personal podcast?
It's some of everything. It's called Unpopular Belief. So it's whatever. It's barbershop talk.
Okay.
You know, so whatever topics is relevant at the time, that's what we're communicating about. So if that's sports or if it's relationships, or I'm a single father, so we talk about that battle, you know, trying to balance just working, coaching, you know, taking care of home and things like that. So it can be any and everything. You know.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about relevant and current and staying up with the times. And you're right. Students will, they see that. And they're like, yeah, this is kind of a, I don't want to say the word hip because then that makes me dated. But, you know, that's like pretty, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty like they know what they're doing kind of a thing. And they are staying up with the times. And I think when you can showcase that that's happening, it's a sense of, Coach McKenzie, I respect this enough to put in this extra time and use the tools that are available to me to help showcase the people that I'm proud of. And right. That's got to pay off really, really well.
Can I add something?
Please, yeah.
So I remember in the beginning when I would be making cold calls and talking to people and high school coaches and introducing myself and talking about this brand new wrestling club that's going to hopefully eventually turn into a team, no one knew who we were. Okay, so it was a very hard sell. But now, since I have some longevity now, I mean, 10 years, 11 years, I now have high school coaches calling me. I got a kid for you. Okay, and then they read about the student spotlights and say, oh, yeah, I got a kid that loves welding. I know you guys have a welding program. I'm going to send them to you. I love when they say, I'm going to send them to you. It feels like it finally paid off. And when I talk to high school seniors now, they think, oh, yeah, my buddy wrestled there 3-4 years ago. So there's a connection. But like in the beginning, it's so hard to get that momentum or whatever you want to call it. But now the momentum's going in the right direction. And you just have to always push it. Because if you don't push it, you're not relevant. So you have to always, I guess, hustle and advertise and market.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Let's talk a little bit about this upcoming season. And we know that both are kicking off here just a couple short weeks away. So we have the first wrestling match October 29th, yes, and that will kick off your season. What is the season looking like? How can we as fans, as listeners, as people that want to support this team and these teams, what can we do to get involved?
Okay, so it is a very long season, and you are correct. At the end of this month, we kick off at Mott Community College for something called the Fall Brawl Open. Most of our tournaments are on Saturdays. We're weekend warriors. And if you would like to support Henry Ford Wrestling, we host two home events. So the first one will be Saturday, December 2nd, and we call that the Hawks Invite. We have other divisions coming, and I always make it a freshman-sophomore tournament, so it's a level playing field. And then the other coaches get to see our guys and make a connection and shake hands, and they remember, and then they follow up with them, right? That's important. Our second tournament that we host, I think, is a very tough, respectable tournament. It's called the Whizzer Open, and it's been moved to Sunday, February 4th, and the Whizzer Open is to honor my high school coach, who was Pat the Whizzer Wyka, so it's his nickname, and people are, Whizzer is a wrestling move, and they think it's a wrestling thing, but Mr. Wyka is still alive, and he comes around, and I give him a t-shirt, and isn't that the coolest thing ever?
So cool.
You know, I hope one of my guys name a term, but the Whizzer Open is like, it's so tough. We have teams from Illinois come in. We're trying to get more from the east side. It's just grown, and now there's actually a waiting list. So I'm proud of that.
Oh, you should be. I was scrolling on the website and looking at the roster of people, and I don't like to get too deep into predictions because I know that some coaches don't like that, but would you like to say anything
okay, so
about that?
I know it's super early, but we always talk about the conference title. We won it in 2020, and then 2021, COVID happened. And I told all the recruits, you got to help us bring that conference title back, okay? I think we definitely can do it. I love it's a small conference. There's only six teams in Michigan with wrestling. And then the big thing is you have to get to the show, and the show is the NJCAA championships that it's always traditionally held in Iowa. I predict a good number. There's 10 weight classes. I don't want to jinx myself, but I think we're going to have a good showing going out to Iowa. And I, if everything goes well, we're just going to have to keep putting those guys on the podium, which means top eight in the country. Mm-hmm. So we got to hold the standard.
Yeah, love it. Thank you. Coach Smith, what are you thinking?
I think we got a good group. We got a bunch of culture kids. I think they will be able to change the way that women's basketball is perceived here. They're working extremely hard. We open up in Cleveland against Tri-C on November 1st. Most of our games are streamed if they're home or away, so you can watch them, you know, get the updated schedule offline and watch the games that you can't make it to. But if you see we have home games, just please come out. We need the support, and I think we'll give something worth watching this season. As far as predictions, obviously need to stay away from that right now. We'll just take it one game at a time, but we'll be extremely competitive. We'll be better than we were in the recent past, and it's wait and see right now for us.
All right.
Yep.
Fair enough. Thank you, both of you, for your honest comments. For more information on any of the athletics opportunities to either play, to support, or to physically come out and experience, to watch, just go to hfcc.edu and search athletics. It's just athletics at hfcc.edu. And there's great information on there, including schedules and so on. And that Hawks invite in December, kind of got my eye on that one. It's fun that we get to experience the live stream of the games as well. That
right.
does allow an opportunity. Kind of sets the bar a little higher, too. You know you're being streamed, potentially
yeah.
by, you know, who knows, hundreds of thousands of people watching. So that's kind of a good pressure, I would say,
right.
for the players to have. So very cool. We are so excited about these seasons coming up with the wrestling season and the basketball and women's basketball season. Gentlemen, we thank you so much for your time and your commitment to the students here at HFC. When you do well, the students do well. When the students do well, the college does well. It is sort of that circle of you know positivity that is out there. So we all appreciate that as a campus community and a community at large. Grant McKenzie, I just have to ask, because if I didn't, I'll get calls later. First thing I asked you when you came in, wait, Grant McKenzie, like the Grant McKenzie Fine Arts Center that I work in every day, so I hate to put you on the spot, but you said that was your grandpa?
That was my grandfather, yeah.
Oh.
So if I remember right, I think the building was built around 1980, 81, something like that, and then they finally had like the open house in 82. I think I was in third grade, and I remember that because I had a clip-on tie, and my brother and I were running all around the building, right? We were just little kids. But, he was a big man around town and loved politics and loved being involved. He was a school board guy, a trustee guy, and he poured tons of energy into it. And he loved it. That was his passion. You know, and I don't know.
Wow.
He loved it.
Yeah, and you're the namesake, so you get to carry that around.
I'm trying. I have a son now. He, there's another Grant McKenzie.
Aww.
He's five.
So, is he wearing the clip-on bow tie?
He will be.
I love it. That's great. And Coach Smith, we are very excited to welcome you officially Henry Ford College
and to
WHFR. So to both of you, we wish you just wonderful seasons. Keep us posted, of course, and we'll keep spreading the words about ways to support the program. And by the way, last comment, if anyone would like to financially contribute to athletics here at Henry Ford College, I'll do that pitch. Note that you are absolutely welcome to make a financial contribution to continue to support HFC Athletics. We can always use your support at the community college level. Every bit helps. Every bit makes a difference, and you really are investing in not only the present but the future of these student athletes. So thank you in advance for that. Final thoughts, gentlemen, as we wrap up today? What do you think?
No, I'm pretty good. I appreciate you having us today. And if you want to come back, you know, during the season,
yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity to come back and talk about, you know, how things are going.
No, this is fun.
All right.
Definitely fun.
Thank you, gentlemen. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal here on 89.3 FM, or perhaps you're listening on the web at WHFR.FM. Either way, we're glad you're here. Stay with us. This is the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw along with you here on 89.3 FM. We are mindful of the fact that you made a conscious choice to participate in the listening of this radio station. And I use the word mindful because that's the subject matter of our next discussion on today's program. So excited that students have opportunities on the campus of HFC to have that sort of extracurricular life outside of the classroom. And as an instructor myself, I recognize the value and importance of that sort of fully functioning student experience when someone is in the college environment. And so many clubs that are represented have just a variety of diversity options and kind of coming from all over the place. So pretty much we always say, there's a club for everyone here at HFC, and for that small chance that there's not, well, you can create one yourself. So no excuses, right, not to be involved. In this discussion, we are going to talk about a club called, it's like my favorite title, it's the Mindfulness Club. And when I say mindfulness, you see how I have to say it. I don't just say mindfulness. I'm like, mindfulness. And I know that may be a little, you know, ethereal or something, but that's what I think of. And I can't wait to see if this is true, if it's right, if it's accurate, or if I'm way off base with this. So we thought we would bring in the people directly connected with the Mindfulness Club here at Henry Ford College, and that is the president of the club and the advisor. So we welcome President Alejandro Bueno, and we welcome advisor Kayla Collins to talk about this, one of many wonderfully exciting, interesting, and suitable for all students club on this campus. So, Kayla and Alejandro, welcome to the journal. So happy to be talking to you today.
Thank you. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Awesome. Alejandro,
yeah, thank you, Susan.
This is your first time, I know, on WHFR. Kayla's, she's a pro. She's you know, a million times. But is this your first time being on the radio, Alejandro?
It is. It's nerve wracking, but like also like I'm really excited because like it's just it's a topic that I love talking about. So yeah.
Hey, and that's why you're here, and that's why we invited you. So give us a little bit of background on the concept of the Mindfulness Club. I'm reading the sort of the write up that is on our website. So the outward facing thing, and I'll just read that, and then you tell me the real details, like the in and out, right, of what's involved. So the Mindfulness Club promotes and encourages the practice of mindfulness and mental health care among HFC students. The club conducts regular group meditation sessions and works to foster a healthy community with relaxing activities. Woo! Sign me up. Alejandro, tell us a little bit more about this. Give us the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, so our main mission, like especially like with, I guess, even having this club in any way is, again, like you said, to promote not only that like mental health awareness and to de-stress students, but I definitely feel like there's just something a little bit more to mindfulness than, you know, I guess, than what people end up understanding, like fully understanding. It's, you know, I guess the core definition is just having that self-awareness of not only your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions, but it's really ultimately like once you have that down, it's ultimately growth for yourself. And so I just wanted to really have a club that felt so family oriented, I guess, in a way, and so open-minded to have that kind of, like you were, like, I guess the website states, with so many diverse people and coming together. And I think ultimately, especially with the group that we have right now, it really shows the kind of like empathy, the love, the connection. Like, I'm all for that. And I'm really happy.
So you're in the right place.
Yeah.
that's we can tell. That's a good thing. Did you start the club specifically? And if so, did you do it on your own? Or did you inherit something that already was pre-existing and kind of made it your own? Or how did that get started?
Yeah. So it was my first semester, the previous semester. And when I came in, I knew that I wanted to do something. I wanted to do a student club, you know, and after again experiencing, you know, for the past 3 years now, meditation and how important that is, like to, you know, how important it is to, I guess, worry about like our mental health and such, that it was like, you know, I want to find more people that are like-minded, I guess, in this way. And so, I ended up joining. And we slowly got together a group, and we had such a nice time last semester. And with going into a new semester, you know, people, you know, have other obligations and stuff, so things change. So I was a vice president the last semester, and I guess now, like, I moved up like a level into presidency, I guess. Like I don't know how that happened, but I feel so strongly about, like, again, not only mindfulness, but again, the connection and, again, empathy and all of that stuff and the importance of all of that. So I guess I inherited it, but at the same time, like I was very glad to, I guess, to accept this position as well.
Let's bring Kayla into this a little bit. She's been nodding her head. I've been seeing her like, yeah. Okay. Kayla, you are the advisor to this club, and I know that that's not a light undertaking. There are responsibilities and duties involved, and I know just from seeing your name pop up everywhere and seeing you at events all over the place, you're already a pretty busy person. So why the willingness to affiliate with and sort of be the spokesperson, if you will, for this club in particular here at HFC?
Yeah, so as Alejandro was mentioning, last semester was really kind of the start of the club again. It had been active in years before, but during COVID, it became inactive. We didn't have an advisor for the club, and so it was kind of just in this limbo state for a while. But I had seen that there was still a lot of interest for it. I had students coming to me saying that they wanted to join the club, that they heard it was a club before, and that it was something just that they were interested in. And I had a passion for it as well. So I actually was a psychology major in undergraduate school. I graduated with my bachelor's in psychology. And what I love about the idea of a mindfulness club is that different students can approach it from so many different directions, right? So there's the psychological aspects, like we were talking about mental health care, people who have the need and the want to kind of cultivate healthy mental health practices. And then there's also kind of a spiritual side of it too. I mean, students will come into it and kind of want to cultivate that sort of metaphysical understanding of mindfulness, how to, you know, connect with yourself and cultivate your soul in a way. And I like that it was so open that so many different people came with different ideas of what mindfulness actually is, as far as meditation or, you know, de-stressing yourself with these different coloring activities or doing art or nature walks. There are so many different things that it means to different people. And so I really liked that part of it. And I also do see a huge need for it. So I've said time and time again, college is hard. Being in college is hard. It's stressful. You are in a new phase of life. You're in a new chapter, a new transition. You're learning to be on your own a little bit. You're having to do time management between classes and work and everything else. And students have a real need as far as mental health care, as far as finding opportunities to be present, finding ways to manage your own emotions. And I think that's something that our club really tries to work at. And one thing I love about it is that you're not just trying to figure this out on your own. You have a group of people who are there to support you, are there to help you grow in your own way and help you heal, whatever that means in your own personal journey. And so I think there was a huge need for it in that way. And it's exciting. You know, Alejandro, like he said, was the vice president before, and I've been able to see him really grow as a leader in this position too. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity, I think, for students.
We're talking about the Mindfulness Club. That is one of many of the wonderful club options here at Henry Ford College. But the mindfulness component, you know, it's not a new term. This is not a new topic, even as you indicated, not a new club, but sort of reassessed, reevaluated, and then sort of reinvented, if you will, this past couple of semesters. The concept of the metaphysical and meditation and yoga and doing things that are good for the mind, the body, and the spirit to some are fluffy and, oh, I don't have time for this, fluffy and flighty, and who needs that anyway? It's not going to help. Those tend to be the very tightly wound people that may need it more than anybody, but just are like in denial. But what kind of students do you find that are, you know, attracted to or joining this type of a club, the mindfulness concept of a club? Do we already need to kind of have our feet sort of rooted in this, or can we just like experiment a little bit and see if it's for us? Whichever of you that wants to,
I can go first and then I'll pass it off to Alejandro.
Sure.
So it is completely open to anyone. I honestly kind of identify myself as a cynic in some ways. I'm very skeptical and I can be tightly wound and everything. But part of what we promote with the club is that it's, you know, just come open-minded. You know, if you're willing to have an open mind and approach it and then see what it does, then that's all we ask. Even if you are, you know, a little more skeptical of the fluffy aspects, as you said, of the metaphysical or whatever else, there are still studies that show that, you know, it reduces our cortisol levels that cause stress if you're able to just meditate for 10 minutes a day. We also are very willing to have these sort of open discussions within our club. It's a place where you are safe to ask questions. You're safe to kind of explore those things. And we're willing to help you out. You know, if you want to try meditation just for 5 minutes and see what it's like before you really decide it's going to be something that you do every day, we're willing to do that with you.
Andre, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I guess like to add on like to that, like I can say it better, like couldn't say it better like myself. But our slogan, I just was gonna mention that our slogan like for our club that I ended up making up last semester is learning, growing, healing together. Because that's ultimately like what we're doing. That's ultimately what we're doing here in this life. And I think that when people really resonate with that and that kind of like, again, that kind of connection, interconnection with like one another, I just feel that there's strength, there's power in that. So definitely like, again, I guess anybody who really resonates on their self-growth journey or their discovery and like figuring out, you know, stuff. And like Kayla was saying that, like it is a safe space. It is a safe space, like definitely for anybody willing to just again be vulnerable, be open, you know, minded about their feelings, their emotions, but yet still having like so many diverse people within this group.
Learning, growing, healing together. Is that it? That's mm-hmm. nice. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
What will someone find when they walk into a meeting, and when and where can we make this option available to our HFC students? They're fine.
So, right. So, again, this is, I guess, time permitting, and I guess whatever activity or event that we're doing, we hold group meditation sessions within every meeting. And our meetings are every Thursday from 3:30 to 5 in Building M and in room 119. And I guess, like, what to expect, there's a lot of people that are very extroverted in this group since last semester. And so, like I said, that it's a very, like, family oriented feeling. And that's what I love about it so much, that it's again, it's way different than what it was last semester. And I feel like with this group of people that have been willing to join, and I guess not only to, I guess again, like to understand this mission or this, or the point of like the mindfulness club, it's just, it's again, like, I don't know how to further explain it, but other than like, it's like we're all family. It's like we're all family inside of there. And that's what I truly love. And we're so accepting to like anybody and to, you know, join and anybody to come in.
I think finding one's place in a new environment, campus community, college community, can be pretty stressful, can be pretty uncomfortable, because you have to put yourself out there a little bit, right? And then if you put yourself out there and find that, it's not really the right place, it's that much harder to try again. But knowing that there's this sort of open door policy and everyone is welcome and all views are considered. And also, I think the other aspect of this particular club, and Kayla, I'll ask you to speak to this as being involved in student activities in general, as well as the advisor for this particular club. It really seems like this is a very member-driven agenda, member-driven mindset. So as you indicated, last semester kind of had a different bit of a vibe or a different shape, and it's kind of taking on something a little bit new this time around. I'm guessing that's intentional, and I'm just curious as to how typical that is in the student club environment here at HFC.
Yeah, so all of our clubs are student driven, and part of that is because it is a space for them. And so we want them to be able to craft the space where they would feel most welcome and most comfortable. And it's also just an opportunity for students to kind of develop their own leadership skills. Within our club, we are very open to ideas. So if someone comes in and says, I think this would be an awesome activity for us to host, then we will talk about it together as a club and decide, this is something that I think we would like to do. And so that's why it is so open to change. You know, every time you have a new group of different members, you're going to have different interests and different things are going to come up. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. Like, for example, last semester, we focused a lot on, doing like nature walks and things like that. And this semester, we have a large population of artsy people in the fine arts department. And so we just did like a collage for World Mental Health Day. And so it just depends what the students are into. You know, we want to give them an opportunity to use their voice and to develop those skills.
What is the commitment like if a student can't attend every week but wants to do their best to participate? Are there membership requirements and, voting responsibilities, stuff like that, that sort of the administrative side or sort of political side of the club life here at HFC?
Yeah, so that's going to depend on each club, but for the most part, membership is pretty open and lenient, so you are able to come when you're available. If there are some times where you can't make a meeting, that's okay. We're not going to kick you out of the club or anything. We do try and just operate by, if we make any huge decisions as a club, as far as, hosting events or representing ourselves somewhere, we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And so we will try and reach out to you some way if you're a member, just to get your opinion on anything. But like I said, it just depends on the group, and we're not going to be too harsh with anything. We understand that you have busy schedules. And so if you're able to come in, have fun with us. If you're not, that's fine. We'll see you at a different time.
That was very mindful of the process, and that's much appreciated. I have this sort of this thing in my head where I think about the typical college student who says, I'm so busy. I just don't have time for this. I'm just so overwhelmed. I just don't have time for this. I actually have a sister who is very much, she does for everybody else. But then the one time you say, come on this retreat with me, or let's do this cleansing, thing to, I just don't have time. It's always got to be about, everybody else first. And then I remember reading a quote, and this is kind of applicable, I guess. And the quote is, taking care of yourself doesn't mean me first. It means me too. So for those students that are struggling with, there's no way I can ever put myself first because I have all of these commitments and responsibilities, I suppose the ask is at least make sure you're on that list. At least make sure that you're in there somewhere. Although many would argue you got to put yourself first or else you can't really do any of those other things well, right? So that's sort of the other aspect of that. But are you finding in the recruitment process or in bringing new students in that they're kind of getting that? They're kind of recognizing that, this is actually not only pleasant and fun and it does feel like a family unit,
but it's good for me. And it's good for me, and not only in this moment, but it's carrying over to other aspects of my life, and especially my school sort of work-life balance. Is that a thing, or am I just sort of overblowing that part of it?
I mean, I'm sure Alejandro can talk about this more, actually, as a student who has committed himself to this club among, you know, having work and school and other schedules to balance. But personally, I mean, it is my favorite time of the week. I am a busy person in my own work life, but being able to sit and focus on the present moment, you do really carry that with you. I think it changes your perspective going into other things as well. Not only being able to take that time for yourself, like you said, but learning that it is just a healthy thing to do. It's just like exercise, but for your brain, for your soul, for your spirit, whatever you want to call it. It is something that actually influences how you interact with everything else. Your quote reminded me of a quote that I learned. It's not, you know, it's not completely applicable, but it was from, I think it was like a meditation teacher who said, if you can, you know, you should meditate an hour every single day. Unless you're way too busy and you don't have time to it, then you need to meditate 2 hours. And the point is, that's what you need the most. If you are too busy for it, that is the thing that will actually help you. But like I said, Alejandro, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
So, yeah, me time is definitely important to me. Yeah, self-care to me, like, is so important because, like, I'm sorry, you said that your sister, you said that yeah. I was like that the same way 3 years ago, the same thing. Like, I was doing stuff for other people. I wasn't focusing self, and it's just, it's this sudden realization that's like, oh shoot, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not really taking care of myself like that I need to do. And so again, like with that realization, like you just kind of, again, have that awareness to like not stress out about things that may have stressed you out in the past. And I think that that's what definitely, not only meditation, but like, again, being in a group of people that like have those similar experiences and such, in which, especially when we had our Welcome Back Days event, we had people coming up into and signing up that their counselors, like, they were like, this is good for you, you know, like you should like check this out. And a couple of members that we have currently like were recruited, like, you know, or that came to our club were from, you know, advice, I guess, from the counselors there at HFC. So it's important to take care of yourself. It's important to, like, again, realize that it's not selfish by any means, because, like, you know, obviously you're really important.
Thank you. Meetings are Thursdays, starting at 3:30 until, you said, about 5 o'clock. Yes. So about an hour and a half a week in the M building, the John McDonald Student and Culinary Arts building at the front of campus, M119. So a student that might be hearing this saying, I might like to give this a try, or an instructor that might be hearing this saying, I'd like to check this out, they can just show up. Do they need to call ahead? And to whom shall we, shall we reach out?
They can just stop in. We'll say, hi, how are you? They can introduce themselves. If you need to come late, that's fine too. We won't judge you. So completely fine just to stop in if you're interested. If you do have questions, you want to learn a little bit more beforehand, maybe you're just a little shy about it, or you have anything, you can email studentactivities@hfcc.edu, or you can also contact our president.
That is,
yeah,
yeah, cool. Yeah, and that is A Bueno, so A-B-U-E-N-O, one, at hawkmail.hscc.edu.
I'm going to repeat that. That is A Bueno, B-U-E-N-O, one, at hawkmail.hfcc.edu. Silly question, but maybe we want to come in casual or comfortable clothing in case we're going to be doing some stretching or meditation. Is that necessary, appropriate? Do we need to bring a blanket? Do we need to bring anything?
I guess whatever you want to wear, whatever that you want. You don't just be comfortable.
All right. Fair enough. Well, it sounds like we have hit every aspect of, you know, taking off all of the reasons why not to check this out, right? It sounds like quite an opportunity, and we're grateful for your time, Kayla and Alejandro, for stepping up the game and bringing your presidency to full force here with your first interview at WHFR. We thank you for that, and we just wish you continued success. Hope it's a wonderful semester, and look forward to continuing to connect students that have this interest and desire to be more mindful, whatever that might mean, to connect with this club. So thank you both for your time today. Wish you the best. This is the WHFR Journal. Please do stay with us right here on 89.3 FM, or if you're listening on the web at WHFR.FM, we're very glad you're here.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The 14th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, October 21st. Join us in the Student and Culinary Arts Center on the campus of Henry Ford College, located at 5101 Evergreen Road in Dearborn, Michigan. Support our vendors and look through the thousands of items for sale, ranging from rare vinyl albums and CDs to memorabilia and handmade crafts. The 14th annual WHFR Record Show is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 21st. Early bird admission from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. is $10. General admission from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is a sliding scale of $1 to $5. All admission fees are direct donations to WHFR. For updates, location details, and more, visit whfr.fm/recordshow or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WHFR Record Show. We want to see you at the 14th annual WHFR Record Show on the campus of Henry Ford College, Saturday, October 21st.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Mexico.